As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I mean, I'm not going to pretend they didn't, but I realized, like, nobody was coming to save me. But if you can accept who you are and accept what's going on every day, that is way better than nothing.
Hey, besties. Welcome back to another episode of I Missed Me. I am so happy and so grateful today because I have Lindsay here with me. She is a host of It Gets Better, and It Gets Better is a podcast centered around self-growth, mental health, and wellness, all ultimately connected to healing, which we love, and to help you discover the best version of yourself. So, Lindsay, welcome to I Missed Me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here with me today. I want to, every single time that I interview another podcast host, I kind of want to like start by asking them what inspired them to start their podcast.
I think what started my podcast is my childhood, which I'm okay with getting into if you're curious.
Yeah.
So I had a really rough childhood. I grew up in a pretty abusive home. I was in and out of foster care most of my life. Mm. My mom was a drug addict. Mm. And when I say drug addict, I think a lot of people think I'm saying like she smoked pot. No, like my mom like did like heroin and meth. Mm. So our home was always being raided and my mom was always going to jail. And then so I was always going to foster care. I have two brothers, but they have a separate dad. So they would always go to their dads. But my dad, I don't know him. So I was going into like the foster care system, which definitely made me like an angry child. Growing up, I had like a lot of, I think I blame myself a lot because my mom had me really young. And, you know, when anyone deals with addiction, it kind of turns them into someone unrecognizable. Like when my mom was sober, she was the best mom on the planet. But when she was high or coming off of something, she became more so like the monster under my bed. Hmm. And a lot of times she would say things like, oh, well, I wouldn't be like this if I hadn't had you so young. Like, you should be more grateful because I had you. You know, I didn't have to be a mom because she did have me really young. And as a kid, like, you don't, like, you look up to your mom. So for me, I was like, oh, this is my fault. Like, when I would see my mom passed out on the floor or when we wouldn't have food on the table, or my brothers like wouldn't have things they needed, I'd be like, oh, this is my fault. So growing up, wow. I was a really angry, really sad kid, which led to me self-harming. It led to me hanging out with men three times my age. My mom often had a lot of really gross guys over when she was doing, because she would have like a lot of parties where people would get pretty high. So because of that, I was around a lot of men that were a lot older than me. A lot of, like, sad situations where I don't want anyone to ever be like, oh, I don't know. I think I get nervous people are going to, like, pity me for it. But
No.
lot of things where, like, men would come into my room when I was younger and I would just, like, you know, that's just, it was just my, that's all I knew. And I think up until I was, like, 17, I really thought, like, this is it. Like, this is what life is.
Wow.
And then I started self-harming and doing drugs around 17. And I left high school one semester early, which looking back was like such a dumb decision. But at that age, I just really like didn't know what else to do. I was like really looking. I was just really rebellious and wanted to get out of the situation I was in. So I left high school and I started dating a guy that was like 10 years older than me that was pretty abusive, pretty similar to the relationships I watched my mom be in. Mm-hmm. And then I just woke up one day and realized I hated everything about my life. And I also had realized that I was no longer living with my mom, but her life hadn't changed. If anything, it had gotten worse. Mm-hmm. And so I think it kind of clicked, like, was I really the problem? Mm-hmm. Me being her child,
right.
You know, or was it her addiction? And I think I just had this moment of realizing my brothers aren't looking up to my mom, but they might look up to me. And so I made a decision one day. I think I just woke up and I was just really miserable, honestly. And I kind of hit rock bottom where not only was I like tired of my life, but I was kind of tired of the fact that, yes, really bad things happened to me. I'm not going to pretend they didn't. But I realized like nobody was coming to save me. Like I think sometimes, at least for me, I was always reading books of where someone comes in and it like saves the day.
Like the prince.
Yes. Yeah. And I just realized, okay, I'm really stuck here and I'm really unhappy. And I was maybe 19 at this time. And I was like, no one's coming to help me. So I woke up one day and was like, I don't want my life to be like this. So I finished school. I went back to college. I started social media. I first started out as a YouTube channel. Mm. And then slowly but surely, I moved out of my hometown. I moved from my small town in Georgia to a bigger city and then eventually to New York City, where I met the guy that is now my husband, married into his family, which they are amazing and they're so sweet. And I'm like, I didn't know families could look that beautiful and loving. And then I guess that's where the podcast started, because I just realized like it does get better. Mm-hmm. You just have to want it to get better and you have to fight for it to get better if it's not where you want it to be.
I love that. Wow. So much to like unpack and like so proud of you, even though I literally just met you for, I mean, 19 is so young to become like that aware of like, okay, I don't want my life to be like this. So proud of you.
Thank you.
But at what point or like what mindset was the one that like ultimately made that switch of like, I really don't want this to be my life anymore? And because, or for people that are struggling and don't necessarily know what has to trigger them to start their growth journey, like how did that look for you?
I think sometimes you have to find something outside of yourself. And I think for me, it was my brothers. Mm-hmm. So if you're not in a place where you love yourself or even like yourself, because I think we often look at self-love as like, oh, I love myself. And the truth is you might not like yourself or even feel like you love yourself every day. But if you can accept who you are and accept what's going on every day, that is way better than nothing. And I think that's the mindset that helped me, is like, you know, I didn't love the situation I was in. I didn't like myself a lot of the times, but I could accept it. And if you can accept it and stop like, I don't know, wallowing in it. And I don't want to say like throwing pity parties, because you're allowed to be sad for your situations. I was allowed to grieve that stuff as well. But accepting what is going on and like really looking at it from an outside perspective and finding things outside of yourself to live for, to give you hope, whether it's hobbies, a certain career, whether it's friends or like chosen family or anything. For me, it was my brothers, like knowing they were so much younger. I was like, you know, I want them to see that there is something else. So I think it all starts from finding, I guess, something outside of yourself to hold on to.
Now I understand like why you talk so much about like inner child, because you talk a lot about on your podcast. What would you say is like the importance of inner child healing, and what role has that played like in your life today?
I would say inner child healing is really important, because I think most of us see, at least I did for a long time, we see it as like who we were as a child being like a separate person, when really like I am still that same child that locked myself. I use this example on purpose. I'm still the same child that would like lock myself in my bedroom hoping my mom like wouldn't come in when she would come home like high. Like that version of me just got bigger. I just got older. I'm still that child version of myself. And I actually watched this documentary on Netflix called, I think it's by Andrew Schutz. It might be called Schutz. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
It's really good. It's all about psychology. And he talked about when it comes to inner child healing, ask yourself, what does my childhood version need from me? Like, ask yourself that in like your worst time when you're really going through it. Ask like, what is younger me asking right now? And something I realized my inner child was asking is to not be left behind. Because I, for the longest time, especially when my YouTube channel got started, I was talking all about lifestyle and outfits and living in New York. And I kind of pretended like the things I went through didn't exist. Like until like 2 or 3 years ago, I didn't talk about it online. I was like, oh, I didn't want anyone to know. And I realized the reason I was still kind of unhappy a few years ago is because I was denying the fact that little me was still angry. Little me was still pissed at some of the things that happened and still sad. And so by allowing that inner child part of me to be here with me now, like taking that version of me into consideration with what I do and not, and my, this version of me into consideration, I make better decisions. I make decisions that not only like honor me as an adult, but also honor my past, which in the end brings you a much happier result, which may, it may seem easier to be like, oh, I just want to focus on what I'm looking at now, which could be like New York. But if I pretend that inner child version of me like doesn't exist, there's always going to be that little voice that's like, I don't know, why did I have to go through that? Why didn't it? So when you start to see like your inner child as also who you are now and bring it together, I just feel like everything becomes, it's easier to heal. It's easier to be happy. It's easier to let go. It's easier to forgive and to move on, I guess, essentially.
Yeah. And I feel like the reason why you're able to talk about it now is because, again, you've accepted it, and you can't accept if you don't forgive. I think those are two very hand in hand. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but how did you find like that forgiveness within yourself and for your mom? Or
I think there's this quote that says like, and it's a really deep quote, and it says something along the lines of like, as a daughter, I forgive you, but as a mother, how dare you? And I'm not a mom, but I can, I feel that way sometimes where I'm like, as a daughter, I forgive her, but I know like one day when I have children, I'm going to be like, how could you do that? Because I don't know how I could look at my kids the way she looked at me sometimes. But I think it's what really helped me is by realizing my mom was doing her best just like I was. My mom was just as human as, my mom passed in the end. But I look back and I realized she was just as human as I was. And I think her passing actually also helped, which that's so, it's sad to say, but it's just the truth. I think because she did die from the drugs eventually, and I think it showed me, oh, she was really human. And what, where I also, I often saw her as like this really strong monster that was like out to get me. When she passed, I realized, no, she was actually really fragile. Like, she was a, you know, she was obviously a hurting person who was kind of almost like a child that was just lashing out and angry because something else happened to her to make her that way.
Love that. And I just want to make like a quick pause for like people listening. The reason why like childhood traumas are formed is because, and I always talk about this on my podcast, that we're wired for survival. When you are a kid, the only only two people that can save your life, or the only person that can save your life, is your mother or your parents. Like, those are the only people that can save your life. And so when those people hurt you, you feel like you're going to die. And so a trauma is formed. Like, whenever the only person that... Besties, this is for everyone that's looking to learn a new language. Whether you have an upcoming international trip or want to connect with friends and family or a new culture, Rosetta Stone is for you. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program available on desktop or as an app, and it truly immerses you in the language that you want to learn. Rosetta Stone has been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages to offer, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, and so many more. And it immerses you in many, many ways. It has no English translations, which means that you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. And I also love that it has speech recognition. It has a built-in true accent feature, which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's literally like having a personal trainer for your accent. Besties, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. And for a very limited time, I Missed Me's listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. Again, besties, that's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. I love you, besties, and I can't wait for you guys to start learning a new language. Besties, I don't know about you, but I feel like this year has gone by so quickly to the point where it's not even giving me time to process everything that has happened. So I quickly want you to ask yourself, what is something that you've been proud of in 2024? What is something that you've accomplished, and what is something that you've done that makes you feel proud about yourself? And what is something that you still want to accomplish this year? When life goes fast, it is very important to take a moment to celebrate your wins and also make adjustments for the rest of the year. Therapy can really help you track your process and set achievable goals for the next 6 months. I've talked about this on the podcast before. I've personally benefited from therapy before. Therapy is just a very, very good tool for you to be able to let your feelings out, let your thoughts out, and kind of organize them a little bit. And I cannot recommend it enough. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you don't like your therapist, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Take a moment, visit betterhelp.com/mafianzores today to get 10% off your first month. Again, besties, that's BetterHelp. Help is help.com/mafianzores to get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp. Thank you so much, BetterHelp, for sponsoring today's episode. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through menopause, but it has become a phenomenon and women literally cannot stop talking about it on social media to the point where a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicating to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make absolutely no compromise when it comes to quality, and it contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And the cool thing about adaptogens is that they help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout the woman's life. Besties, Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause, but any women with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it. There is no better feeling and benefit than feeling like yourself again, and that is what Hormone Harmony is for. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at Happy Mammoth just using your code MAFIANZURES at checkout. Besties, that's happymammoth.com using the code MAFIANZURES at checkout for 15% off today. Thank you so much, Happy Mammoth, for sponsoring today's episode.
Can save your life hurts you, a trauma is formed. And so if you have a hard time like knowing the traumas that come, that go back to your childhood, you just have to remember those times that you felt unsafe because of your parents when you were a kid, and then heal those. Wow. What are like the some things that you think that you're still struggling to heal today that are like connected with your inner child? Do you feel like that is healed already?
I would say things I struggle with now is more so feeling okay with the stuff that I have now, because I do have a really great life, and that's like I love my apartment. I have a view of Manhattan. I have a husband who came from a really healthy home. He has parents that, like, if we ever needed something, they would be there to help him. Like, they paid for his college, something I'm not used to. Like, that's so different than what I was raised with, where, like, the moment I turned, like, 18, my mom was like, get out, you know? Mm-hmm. It's very different.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes I struggle with the good things I have now, where,
like, not feeling deserved.
Like, yeah, almost like I don't, not even saying I don't deserve it, but I feel guilty.
Okay.
I think I struggle with guilt with it often. Like, I'm always thinking, I also think I struggle with showing that I have good things, because, again, I feel guilty as if the people that are currently struggling are watching.
You don't want to feel like you're showing off. How are you working through that today?
I think I try to remind myself that the things that I'm sharing now, or the things that younger me looked at, that gave me hope. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was younger, I would look at people living different lives and think, oh my gosh, I could do that.
That's so beautiful.
And so now I do struggle with it, but I'll remind myself, like, but if you're honest, like I said, bringing that little version of me along, not just like, oh, showing off, but it's like, I'm showing you what I have, but also being honest about what I used to have. Mm-hmm. Maybe it gives someone like a little glimmer of hope that there is more out there.
I love that. You grew up like watching your mom having all of these like toxic relationships. And obviously what you see at home is what you repeat unless you repair it. How did you repair your view of relationships? Like, seeing your mom having all of these toxic relationships and obviously growing up thinking that that is the normal. And now you're married with a healthy relationship and his family being so healthy. Like, how do you allow yourself to like open up and be vulnerable and like allow yourself to see that as healthy and not like toxic as like the normal, the comfortable?
So I started to realize a pattern that all the people I dated were pretty similar to me. Like, I always wanted like the relationships you see on TV, like someone who had good communication and someone who was kind and loving and patient and supportive. And I realized that it just hit me one day, like I guess like 10 years ago, because now I've been with Noah for 7 years now, which feels wild. Time goes by so fast.
So fast.
It does. But I guess like 10 years ago, I remember I was thinking, why don't I have someone who supports me or cares about me or any of these things? And I realized I didn't have any of those qualities either, because I hadn't healed myself. So I had to take a break from dating around 10 years ago and realize, who do I want to be? Because most likely I'm going to attract a partner that's similar to who I am. Mm-hmm. Because if I am always angry and hateful and not kind and not supportive and I don't know how to communicate, then someone who is kind and supportive and communicates well isn't going to come and be like, oh, this is great. You know, they're not going to fix me. Mm-hmm. So I think I had to look in the mirror and pause dating and work on my relationship with myself first. And once I did that, it became a lot easier to understand, like, okay, no, I do deserve supportive relationships, and not just deserving, but like that I won't accept less. Mm-hmm. And then it's just so much easier just to set boundaries and say no the moment you realize something that comes your way that's not aligned with who you are anymore.
Do you want to be a mom one day?
I think so. Yeah, I do.
Are there like any underlying fears of like, I don't want my kids to ever feel the way that I felt?
Oh, absolutely. And I think I also fear that when I become a kid that when I become a mom, that I'd be angrier at what happened to me as a kid, because there were times, for example, that my mom would say things like, I hate you. And I know in the moment she didn't mean it. Like later on, she'd always apologize, but she would say things like that. And I worry that if I have a kid one day, like it'll make me angrier at her.
That you'll never say that. And
yeah, because I know could never say those things like my child. Like I couldn't say that to anyone. So it makes me worry that I'll be angrier at her, which I try not to be because she has passed. You know, I try to have like some grace towards her now. So I think that's my biggest fear.
And I think that's a beautiful fear, because I think it's also going to help you heal the childhood that you have. Like, okay, I'm able to give a good childhood to like my kid now. So
I like that perspective.
Yeah, that's very beautiful. You talk a lot about self-sabotage on your podcast. How would you define it?
So I think a lot of times when you're self-sabotaging, you are doing things in your life thinking that you're doing the right thing, but the intention behind what you're doing is so mismatched that no matter what, the journey and the outcome are going to be wrong. So say, I'm going to give like a basic example. Say you really want to get in shape, but the entire time you are really hard on yourself. You're mean to the way you look now. You are always comparing yourself when you're at the gym or when you're working out. Then no matter what, you're not going to enjoy it. You're not going to want to do it. So then the journey is going to suck. And even if you get to the result you like, quote unquote, result you think you wanted, if the entire journey was filled with like you hating on yourself and doing this out of like hate, you can't hate yourself into a body you love. Mm-hmm. So the outcome is always still going to suck if the intention's not right.
How can someone heal and start working on stop self-sabotaging?
I would say start with the intention. So, for example, like I said, like body stuff, I know that's a common thing that people struggle with. I think everyone struggles with body image. So if you are trying to hate yourself into a body you love, you have to ask yourself, like, what is my intention right now? Mm-hmm. Is my intention to get in shape? Is my intention to love myself? Because usually deep down, like if we want to get in shape, for example, it's usually like a deeper feeling of wanting to feel worthy in our body.
Good
or feel
with
accepted.
Yourself.
Yes. So you have to work on the intention first, and you have to do whatever it takes to fix that intention, whether it's even something as simple as unfollowing people that make you feel bad about yourself, or, you know, not watching certain shows that you're comparing yourself to, or not being around certain people that make you feel bad about your body, until you get to a place where you can look in the mirror and like what you see. And then you can start from the beginning from a good intention. Mm-hmm. And I think often we really want the results right now. So we're like, oh no, I want to work on it now, whatever it is. But if you don't get the intention right first, you got to kind of like take a step back, work on your mindset. You have to do that first. So the outcome's never going to work.
I love that. Jumping onto a whole nother topic that you also talk about on your podcast, you talk about manifesting. And I love manifestation. What do you think are like the most common mistakes that people do when it comes to manifestation?
Okay, I feel like I get a little nervous because I hate the way manifestation is talked about in some places online.
Me too.
Like the whole like, oh, a free check came in the mail. I'm like, then you should not cash that.
Yeah.
Like that's probably fraud.
Yeah.
To me, it's like really knowing what actions you're taking, if they're aligned with the results you want, what intentions you're putting behind those actions, and whether or not you are setting yourself up for success, whether or not you actually believe you can have it, and surrounding yourself with opportunities, obviously, that can help you get there. So I do. It's like almost like a big spider web of multiple things, from intention to not self-sabotaging to taking aligned action. Aligned action meaning action that's going to get you in the right direction, not action that takes you three steps backwards. Going at it from a good place, having the right intention, and I think also just trusting the process. I think a lot of us give up really easily.
Yeah.
And we think that because something doesn't work overnight, because a lot of like manifestation gurus online are like, oh, this happened overnight. They're like, oh, this didn't happen overnight for me, so it's not going to happen. That's not true. It didn't happen yet. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it comes to trusting the process.
Yeah. What do you think is like the biggest misconception that people have to like get rid of when it comes to manifestation? Like you said, online. Because I 100% agree with you. Like, I have a very like controversial take when it comes to manifestation. Like, write things down on a paper and like it's going to happen. It's like, it's not like that. So
I would say the misconception is that it has to be done some perfect way. Kind of like you said, like people talk about scripting and vision boards, and everyone is like, oh no, you have to script this way. Oh no, you have to put this on your vision board. Oh no, you have to write it in this pretense. I'm like, okay, all of that is just stressing you out. Just know what your goals are. Know what your intentions are behind the goal. Is it something that's actually aligned with you? Like, do you actually want the thing, or is it you think you want that? Mm-hmm. Figure out what you actually want and don't worry about all the tiny things and the hacks and the tricks that you see online, mm-hmm. because a lot of those are really distracting you from the actual work you have to do, because mm-hmm. you have to get up and to do the work. I think if people expect to sit and things to come to them all the time, like, it's not going to. I feel like manifestation is 50% intention, 50% action. You got to have a little bit of both. Mm-hmm.
If someone who's listening and like is struggling to believe that like it gets better, what would your like biggest advice be?
I would say to look back on times in your life when you didn't think it would get better, or you didn't think that you were going to make it through something, and remind yourself that you have done it before. You may be in a completely different situation right now that is harder, but when you think back, there is definitely a situation in anyone's life that's listening where you have been resilient, you've been strong, you have been shown how capable you are of getting through something. So if you did it before, there's no reason you can't do it again.
I love that. Closing off our episode, I want to ask you a question that I ask everybody that comes and I missed me, and that is, what does healing mean to you?
I think healing means to me acceptance, like true acceptance, accepting what happened to me, accepting who I am now, like all of it, you know, accepting mm-hmm. the bad parts of myself, and also accepting the new exciting parts of myself and letting them all coexist.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that.
Thank you so much for being with me today. You should feel extremely proud of yourself for the person that you've become after going through all of that. Where can people find you?
So Instagram and TikTok, just at lindsay.adkinson. And then the podcast is It Gets Better.
Everything is going to be linked down below. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you guys so much for watching. I love you guys. Don't forget to follow me on all of my social media at Mafia Ansuris. Don't forget to follow the podcast at I Miss Me Podcast. And don't forget, I have a clothing brand, NoNameProject.co. And we'll see you guys on our next episode. With love, Mafia.